mercy and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the epistle for this day from 1 Peter chapter 2. I read for you again these words. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So far, the reading of the text. In the name of our crucified and risen King, Lord Jesus. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Identity is a big deal in our day. Even more is the question of the identity you claim for yourself. And the answer has changed from what is true and real to whatever you feel you are. And yet, our true identity is not so much chosen or defined by us and our feelings or imagination, as it is given to us, and we merely confess it. And thus, we each identify as a man or a woman, not because we choose to be such, but because God has made us such and declared us to be such. Likewise, you are a husband, wife, parent, grandparent, butcher, baker, candlestick maker. And while we are often identified by the role or vocation we have in life, our identity is usually considered very individually. For the answer to who are you or what are you usually starts with the letter I. And yet, you and I also have a collective identity. We identify as Americans because we are citizens of this country. And as we listen to Peter today, we hear more about who we are. He says, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Living stones and holy priesthood, that's not how we usually think about ourselves, is it? After all, both of these terms go back to the Old Testament. They both have to do with worship life of ancient Israel. Living stones recalls the building of the temple in Jerusalem. And holy priesthood refers to those Israelites who were dedicated to the Lord's service at the temple. Now, Peter takes these Old Testament terms and applies them to us, the New Testament church. Peter wants us to know this is who we are and that we should see ourselves in this way. He writes, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Notice that our identity as living stones comes as we are connected to one particular living stone. And that, of course, is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the living stone who was rejected by man, but chosen and precious in the sight of God. He was rejected by men. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Here was the promised Messiah, at long last coming to his people, and yet so many did not receive him. The scribes and Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests and the elders, the very religious leaders who should have recognized Jesus as the Messiah, did the exact opposite. They rejected him. Why? Because Jesus exposed their pride and hypocrisy. He threatened their power and privilege. And so they hated him. They had him arrested and crucified. As prophesied in the Psalms and quoted by Peter, Jesus is the stone that the builders rejected. And yet, this was all according to God's plan. They meant evil, but God meant it for good. God sent his Son into this world to be the sin bearer for all humanity. This is my Son, my chosen one, the Father said at Jesus' baptism. And so Christ came to do the Father's will. That meant going to the cross to redeem sinful mankind. There, Jesus shed his holy, precious blood to atone for our sins and win our forgiveness. It is done. It is finished. Jesus' death did the job for you. You are forgiven. Your guilt is removed. And you are right with God because of Jesus. And so God glorified his Son by raising him from the dead and making him Lord of all. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious. And as we sang earlier, Christ is our cornerstone. He is the living stone, risen from the dead and now alive forever. Christ is the cornerstone of the church, the one foundational stone that determines all the angles in the building. The church is true only as it lines up straight with Christ. The church finds its identity as it is founded on and connected to Christ. The church finds its life in connection to Christ. And so, beloved, this is how we are living stones. It's because we are connected to the living stone, our Lord Jesus Christ. We draw our life from him. You are joined to Jesus through your baptism. He has given you the gift of faith in your Savior. The Word and the sacraments are the mortar, if you will, that join us living stones to the one chief cornerstone. And in the process, these means of grace join us to one another in this spiritual house known as the church. We are not just a bunch of individual stones scattered, separate, and unconnected. No. We have been joined together to take form as the church, to have a real collective identity. This is who we are. God has made us to be His people. We have an identity and a purpose together. It's not just me and Jesus. It's we and Jesus. Let us always think of ourselves in that way. And so when you absent yourself from church, it's like a brick deciding to pull itself out of the building. It weakens the whole structure. My fellow bricks, my fellow stones, we are stronger when we stay connected and support each other in being connected to Christ. Yes, we do have an identity and a purpose together. This is where the holy priesthood idea comes in. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And what do priests do? They offer sacrifices. The Old Testament priests were dedicated to the Lord's service to offer up all kinds of sacrifices, sin offerings, guilt offerings, thanksgiving offerings, and so on. God had set them apart to do this work. In our text, Peter applies this priesthood language to the New Testament church. We as church have been set apart to the Lord's service. We are dedicated and holy to the Lord. And God has given us this work to do, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And yet here we need to be very clear. While there are many kinds of sacrifices we offer to God, there is one that we do not make and cannot make, and that's the atoning sacrifice for our sin. That sacrifice has already been made once and for all when our great high priest, Jesus Christ, shed his holy precious blood on the cross. That one-of-a-kind sacrifice can never be repeated, nor need it be. Jesus did the perfect job for us, complete in every way. But there are still sacrifices we offer to God, sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise, Eucharistic sacrifices, we can call them. For example, the tithes and first fruit offerings you put in the plate are spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, and they support the work of His church. And then there's the sacrifice of thankful lips, speaking our prayers and singing our praises to the God who has redeemed us with gladness and gratitude in our hearts. Yes, these are sacrifices. These are offerings that are pleasing to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet there's one other spiritual sacrifice you can make. Again, the sacrifice of thankful lips. It's when you tell your friends and neighbors and relatives about what God has done for you. Peter gets at this as well when he says, But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Proclaiming His excellencies. Fellow priests, we have the privilege and opportunity to tell others about what God has done for us and for them. That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. This is what God has done for us. We were lost, wandering around in the dark. But God has called us out of that darkness of sin and death and brought us into His kingdom of light and life. New life, eternal life. This is something worth talking about and proclaiming. God has made us His people. He has made us a royal priesthood so that we may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. This is our identity and purpose. This is our high calling, and it's all by grace. We don't deserve any of it, but this is God's gift to us in Christ. He, Jesus, is the living stone, is the chosen and precious cornerstone. Through Him, we living stones are built into a spiritual house and made a holy priesthood. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Living stones and a royal priesthood. What a joy it is to know that this is our identity in Jesus. Both now and forever. To Him be all the glory. Amen.